So Acts chapter 5, and we're going to try with the Lord's help tonight to work our way through these first 11 verses of chapter 5. In fact, we'll go back and get the last verse of chapter 4, because that's an unfortunate chapter break there. We'll get verse 36 of chapter 4 and move forward through the first 11 verses of chapter 5, so 12 verses in all. Let's read this text together. Verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son of consolation or encouragement, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. Carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. That's the word of God. And all God's people said, amen. If you remember the last time we were together on Wednesday night, the spiritual marks of the church is what we talked about. And we said that the spiritual marks on the early church in Acts 4 were that they had great unity. They were of one heart and one soul. The expression of that unity was that they did not say that their possessions were theirs, but they were willing to share them. They had great power to witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was said to be upon them. And finally, they were generous. No one in the church lacked what they needed because they freely sold what they had extra and brought the money to the church, and the apostles distributed it according to each person's need. So what marked these early believers was unity, bold proclamation of the truth, and generosity. Unity, bold proclamation of the truth, and generosity. And I think those same things should mark us as believers today. But they did have problems too. Don't get overly romantic with the early church. They struggled as well. Because anywhere you have fallen humanity, you're going to have problems. We have seen that the church has received threats from the outside, but what we are going to see tonight is that there are problems from the inside of the church as well. It's not a physical threat here, but it is a moral problem. So let's look here at verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, that is the word that could be translated Joseph. Joseph, who had been nicknamed by the apostles Barnabas, which being interpreted means the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. So Barnabas was an encouraging person. He was a Levite. And he was of the country of Cyprus. And Barnabas, having some land that he wasn't using, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we have Luke here giving us the account of Barnabas, piece of land he sold. He brings all the proceeds of that sale and lays it at the feet of the apostles so that they may distribute it as men, as people have need. So what we have here in 36 and 37 is a positive example of the generosity that marked the church. The generosity that was evident among those in the early church is shown here as this positive example, selling land, bringing the money to the church. But, notice we have this, but. This but is a contrast. So what is being contrasted is Ananias with Barnabas. A positive example of generosity and a negative example is what we're having here. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, what did they do? Well, they sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So outwardly, Ananias does exactly what Barnabas did, right? Outwardly, things look very much the same. He had a possession and he sold it and brought the money, or brought some of the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. The difference was that Ananias did not give all of the proceeds from the sale of his piece of land to the church. But that's not really the issue, is it? If we get hung up there, then we're going to miss the entire point. The problem is not that he didn't bring all the proceeds and give it to the church. The problem is he lied about it. So the problem wasn't outward. The problem was inward. The deal is that Ananias sold a piece of land, got a certain amount for it, kept part of it back, but said he gave it all. You with me? Now, Luke doesn't give us any financial details here. We don't know what the land was worth, what it was appraised for. We don't know what Ananias sold it for. We don't know how much he kept back. And we don't know how much he brought and laid at the apostles' feet. Luke doesn't tell us any of that. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. whether Ananias kept $5 back for himself, or whether he kept $5,000 back for himself, or whether he kept $25,000 back for himself. That's not the issue. The point is not the amount that was brought or the amount that was kept back. The issue is the motives and the intents of the heart. He brought some of the money, but he represented it as it being all of the money. Now that's a very small, slight compromise, isn't it? But I want you to see tonight that if Ananias kept back $5, it would be the same as keeping back all of it but $5. The amount doesn't matter if we lie about it. Because a lie is a lie. Say amen. A lie is a lie. This is a little white, this is a harmless little white lie. But a lie is a lie. Deceit is deceit. Half-truths are half-truths. Hypocrisy is hypocrisy. Say amen. It is the intent, it was the intent of Ananias' heart. That's the issue. Why did Ananias do what he did? This is what I think. Did you hear me? This is what I think. I think Ananias wanted the same applause and the same recognition and the same praise that Barnabas received without being as sacrificial as Barnabas. He wanted the same applause, the same accolades, the same recognition, the same praise that Barnabas had gotten in the previous verses, but he wanted that without being as sacrificial as Barnabas had been. He wanted to appear sacrificial without really being sacrificial. He wanted to look generous without really being generous. He wanted to look like he was doing what everybody else was doing without really doing what everybody else was doing. Help me. Ananias wanted others to think that he was more generous than he really was. He wanted others to think that he was being more sacrificial than he was actually being. So, it really wasn't about taking care of the needs of others, was it? That wasn't what Ananias was interested in, taking care of the needs of others in the church. It was about appearances. It was about how he looked in the eyes of other people. Now, look at verse 3. But, there's another but. The first but was a contrast. This but is a confrontation. But Peter, who is the apostle, said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, obviously, God has revealed to Peter the problem of Ananias' heart and plot. And Peter gets to the very heart of the issue, doesn't he? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, in my study, some theologians, some scholars believe that Ananias was saved. Others don't believe he was saved, and depending on what day it is, I teeter back and forth. But I do lean toward that he was a saved person. And let me tell you why I do lean that way. What we know is that Luke seems to include Ananias and Sapphira with the believers who were unified in the church in the previous text. We also know that a lost person cannot lie to the Holy Spirit because he doesn't possess the Holy Spirit. And finally, it seems to me that God is dealing in such a harsh way to serve as an object lesson to other believers. So I think that Ananias very, very well probably was a believer, although he leaves a very bad taste in our mouths. What we need to learn here is that just because you claim belief in Christ, that doesn't mean Satan abandons his efforts concerning you. Satan doesn't leave us alone just because we have joined a church. Satan doesn't give up his efforts to influence and control us. Ananias yielded enough influence and enough control that this was put into his heart. Doesn't say Satan possessed him. It says he filled his heart alive with the Holy Ghost. But you got this guy doing his thing. But later on, Peter says that Ananias is responsible because he asks, "Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart?" So Satan fills his heart with this idea or this intent or this motive, and Ananias didn't fight it. He cooperated with it. And Peter says, "Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God." Amen? Now, what Peter does here, let me go back. What Peter does here is affirms that the Holy Spirit is God. Who did Peter say that he lied to? The Holy Ghost. And then he says he lied to God. Say amen. They are the same. The Holy Spirit is God. So Peter says to Ananias, look at verse 4. "Before you sold the land, was it not your land?" Right? It was Ananias' land, right? "And after you sold it, was the money of that sale not in your own power? So why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, you've lied to God." There was no requirement of anybody in the church to sell their land and give the church the money. It was not a requirement. And what Peter says is this: Ananias, you could have sold it or you could have not sold it. It was yours to do whatever you wanted to do with it. You could have sold it, not sold it. You could have sold it, kept the money. It was yours to do whatever you wanted to do with it. And Ananias, of course, is free to keep back as much money as he wanted to keep back and give the church whatever he wanted to give them. It was his land. It was his money. He could do what he wanted to with it. And if Ananias had come in that day and told Peter that he had sold the land for such and such amount and he had kept so much for himself, but the rest of it he was going to give to the church, there would have been no problem. He was free to not sell it, to sell it, to keep it all, keep part of it, keep none of it. What he was not free to do was misrepresent what he had done to make himself look better than he really was. He was not free to do that. Ananias was indeed generous, was he not? Say amen. He had a piece of land, he sold it, he gave part of that money to the church. That's generous. Say amen. But the problem with Ananias is that he was generous and he was deceitful. There were things going on behind the scenes that Ananias didn't want anybody to know about. Look at verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words from Peter, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all of them that heard these sayings. Now, we have a lot of liberal scholars who say that Ananias was so shocked that Peter knew what was going on and became so fearful that he died of a heart attack. I don't think so. Let me show you why I don't think so. You ready? This right here gave up the ghost. It is a Greek word that means he breathed his last breath. It's only used 3 times in all the Bible. It's used here with Ananias. It's used again concerning his wife Sapphira. And then a few chapters later, Acts chapter 12, it's used of Herod, who God strikes dead. What's happening? What happened to Ananias? God struck him dead. Say amen. He wasn't in shock and had a heart attack. God killed him. Are you with me? God killed him because he was trying to put on appearances of what he was not. And all of this, the meeting, the coming before Peter, and of course the young man arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Young men, it's your job to do the hard labor of burying people in the church. You're on the burial committee. Say amen. They come in, they wound him up, they carried him out, and they buried him. And all of this seemed to happen, right? His coming in to see Peter, this confrontation, him dying, him being buried. It all happened in the space of about 3 hours. Because Sapphira, his wife, comes to church 3 hours later, and she has no idea what has taken place, and she doesn't have any idea that her husband has died, has been wrapped, and been buried. She doesn't know what has been done. But Peter asks her a question. Peter says, "Tell me, Sapphira, whether you sold the land for so much. Did you sell the land for this amount?" And she has every opportunity to come clean. Ananias didn't have that opportunity. Sapphira has the opportunity to come clean, but what does she do? She says, "Yeah, that's right, that amount." Every opportunity to be honest, every opportunity to come clean, she lies just like her husband lied. And I'm guessing, this is me speculating here, I'm guessing if she knew that her husband had died only a few hours earlier, she probably would have had a different answer for Peter here. But Peter is going to see if she will continue in her deceit. She doesn't know that Peter knows, and she thinks that she can get away with the lie. Because somehow, her and Ananias have agreed to lie about this to make themselves look better than what they are. And she is going to stand by the side of her man. Well, they are going to be side by side, aren't they? They're not going to be standing side by side. They're going to be lying side by side in the grave. Her lying ends up with her lying in the grave, right? Now let me stop here and just say this. Doesn't sin make us insane? Sin lures us in by promising us things that it cannot deliver upon. It promises us peace and blessing and fun and freedom, and all the time sin is making us slaves to it. Verse 9. Then Peter said to her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out." Why have you agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Why would you together come up with this plot to put God to the test? Isn't that what sin is? Us putting God to the test. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. God struck her dead too. And for the second time, these young men come in, find another person dead in the church, and carry her out and bury her next to her husband. So let me say some things here that need to be said. There is a contrast here between Barnabas and Ananias. It is a confrontation of Ananias and Sapphira, by Peter and the Lord. And there is finally this consideration that needs to be made about sin and judgment. This had to be dealt with, did it not? Could the church continue on with this deceit among its membership? It was a satanic attack, right? Satan had filled Ananias' heart. And what is at stake is the fellowship of the church, the unity of the church, and the generosity of the church, right? Because all of that is built on trust. You can't have biblical fellowship. You can't have koinonia fellowship with people you don't trust. Say amen. You can't be unified with a people you don't trust. Can you be generous with people who you don't trust? Of course you can't. And you understand trust is built on openness and honesty and integrity and character. And if you don't have those things, you can't really have fellowship or unity or generosity. Say amen. So this very incident threatens that fellowship of the church and that unity that has been established in the church and the generosity that is being expressed by the church. If this is not dealt with, then all kinds of deceit will come into the church. And those outside the church will look at those inside the church and say, what a bunch of hypocrites go there. So let me say this. Sin is a very serious thing. Now, we've lost that sensitivity in our day and age. You might hide your motives and your intents from everyone else, but let me remind you, you will not hide it from God. He knows your heart. And there's what the church, I think, learns here is that there's not just a sin of omission and a sin of commission, what you do and what you don't do, but there's a whole new realm of sin with your motives and the intents of your heart. And your motives and your intents matter to God. The church needed reminding. Are you listening? this church needed reminding that they exist for the glory of God and not the other way around. God does not exist for us. They needed reminding that we exist for the glory of God. God does not exist for our needs, for our glory, for our ends, for our means, for our betterment, for our peace, for our comfort, or our satisfaction. He doesn't exist for any of that. We exist for His glory. And the church needed to be reminded of that. Ananias and Sapphira were not, well, let me back up. God was not going to allow Ananias and Sapphira to use this occasion as a grandstand for showing themselves off and deceiving everyone else in the process. That's not what church is going to be used for. Because all they were doing was making church a sham. Look at verse 11. And great fear came upon all, what? The church, and upon as many as heard these things. You know what didn't happen after this? People didn't sell stuff and come and lie about it. Say amen. It's amazing how two people dropping dead doing that will teach you, you don't do that. Nobody came lying about what they were giving. So let me ask you a question. What effect would that have on you? When those were putting on pretense but mocking it all in their heart, what if they were here and they dropped dead right in front of you? What effect would that have on you? Do you think that you would examine yourselves more closely? Maybe make sure your motives and your intent was godly and not fleshly? Say amen. If it meant instant death, wouldn't you? You see, God judged Ananias and Sapphira right here. He judged them, and He also judged the people in the Corinthian church. Remember, He said, some of them are sick and some of them are dead or asleep because of what they were doing with the Lord's table. And you know what? Let me go on record to say this. I think God still has the right to do that today. Matter of fact, I think He still does it today. We just don't recognize it because He doesn't do it immediately in front of the church. The Bible says judgment begins at the house of the Lord. So let me ask you a question. Was the lie that Ananias and Sapphira told, was it a harmless little white lie? It wasn't. We need to be careful about putting on outward appearances of what is not actually true inwardly. Because it's not about you lying to me or to the church. It's about you lying to God. And that matters with God. And all God's people said, let's pray.